We sense it instinctively every time we feel a soft breeze. It's that reaction most of us have watching the sunrise over a lake. It's that deep connection with landscape that sometimes overwhelms us during a long hike or a leisurely picnic. Why do we feel this way? What does it mean? Steve Kellert, professor of social ecology at the Yale School of Forestry and Environmental Studies, believes people have a basic human need to be in contact with nature. But as our society becomes more urbanized, this essential need, called biophilia, is often ignored. Professor Kellert.
Biophilia is the inherent human affinity for the natural environment that is instrumental in our physical and mental health and well-being. And we evolved as hunter-gatherers, responding to all sorts of ecological cues that had to do with light and space and time and movement, color. And that is still very critical in our learning and development, sense of security and safety and our fitness and our development, our problem-solving, critical thinking abilities, creativity, etc. So if you cut yourself off from that, do so with a certain amount of peril in terms of at the least frustration and lack of satisfaction, but at the most, the increased likelihood of not developing your full physical, emotional, and intellectual capacities, as well as your health.
As we become more of an urban culture, the break between society and the natural world gets wider, and the impact is negative for both.
I think it's 77% of Americans live in an urban area. I think this year, World Health Organization indicated that for the first time in human history, 50%, the majority of people live in an urban area. And we know that the greatest migration in human history is occurring right now with tens of millions of people in places like China and India and so forth, moving from the countryside to the city. The way in which we've developed the city has been such that we have cut ourselves off. We both degraded and damaged natural systems, and we've cut ourselves off from ongoing positive contact with those natural areas. I think what we have is a design flaw. We've designed ourselves into this situation. We can design ourselves out of it by adopting a different model.
Some might consider biophilic design as innovative, ahead of its time. But really, it is adapting time-tested concepts and reinventing them for how we live now. Professor Kellert.
If you look at a lot of the old buildings, they didn't have air conditioning and heating. So they had to be very clever about the way in which they captured heat and light and cooleth and moved it around. And you'll see a lot of, stucco structures or big thick walls or chimney effects where ventilation goes through it very easily, or central atriums, which we're going back to in a lot of our new designs, but in a more sophisticated, high-technology way. What you try to do in these new sustainably designed buildings, you try to minimize to the greatest extent possible the amount of mechanical energy you actually need to produce heat and light. And then when you minimize it to the barest minimum, then you start to worry about where it comes from. A lot of this in the biophilic design area is intuitive. And I think people were far more in tune with their environment in years past. And the scale was different and it was less dominated by human construct, artificial construction, and less abstract. It was more immediate and visceral.
There is a misconception that green buildings are always biophilic. According to Professor Kellert, green buildings do not necessarily create an environment of physical or mental well-being.
Conventional notions of sustainable design or green design tend to focus only on the first part of that definition, that is, how to minimize or mitigate or avoid harmful effects on the natural environment. My argument is that that is necessary but not sufficient to achieve sustainability, that if you achieve that effect in a building, a hermetically sealed skyscraper where people are still working in windowless environments, that won't be sustainable because basically those environments do not produce physical and mental well-being. People don't enjoy being in those spaces. So sustainability is about keeping something in existence. Buildings and places that we have a strong sense of stewardship for and affiliation with generation after generation.
The School of Forestry and Environmental Studies is redefining the green building concept with a new home that will incorporate biophilic design principles. Professor Kellert says it will be a symbol of the school's ideals and values and a powerful expression in beautiful form of our relationship to the environment.
The new School of Forestry and Environmental Studies moves more toward the model of restorative environmental design. But in addition to that, we're trying to create a positive and enriching connection to the natural environment, both within the building and the building's relationship to its landscape. So some examples of that are we have great amount of natural light and natural ventilation. We have these great vaulted spaces. We use a lot of natural materials. We've taken what were previously impervious asphalt access road surfaces, and we're turning them into courtyards that are going to have a strong connection. There'll be this kind of inside-outside relationship. Another example would be we're capturing rainwater. We're bringing it into an external water feature with natural vegetation, which will also be connected to the internal water system for the building, such that we can process and treat gray water and recycle it along with the captured stormwater, turning a waste product into a resource and use it for internal building purposes. One of the reasons I got involved personally and professionally in biophilic design is that my career has been very much around how do we reconcile and harmonize people with nature. One of the things that's very attractive about this building in that regard is two things. One is that it can be the realization of our ideals as a school in built form, and the building itself can be part of our pedagogy, part of our education, that students who come here can see in the operation and the achievement of the building the very things that we're trying to talk about.
Recognizing the importance of biophilic design, the Yale School of Forestry and Environmental Studies and the Yale School of Architecture are offering a joint master's degree program.
It's a joint master's degree program. It'll be a four-year program. You'll get a master's of architecture and a master's of environmental management. Basically a program in sustainable design and development, particularly focusing on the urban scale. What I hope will come out of it won't be a better architect or a better environmental manager, but will be a whole new design professional that fuses these two professions. The true integration of architecture and environment is possible through this joint degree program.
For more information about the Yale School of Forestry and Environmental Studies and the joint master's degree program, visit environment.yale.edu or call 1-800-825-0330.